Imagine with me what it would be like if one morning your doorbell rang. It was early on while you're still trying to get ready to go. You know, you've just gotten out of the shower. You've just gotten dressed. You're trying to get out. And the truth is, when that doorbell begins to ring, you're more than a little bit irritated because you need to get out the door. You need to get to work. You're already running a little bit late. And besides that, you've had a really tough night. It was one of those nights where you tried to sleep, but the more you tried to sleep, the more the worries of your life came out to visit you. The kids need braces. The car needs new tires. The house payment is just a couple of days away, but payday doesn't come till next week. You're thinking about all of the things that are pressing on you and all of the concerns you have, and it's kept you from sleeping, and you overslept a little bit, and you're finally getting ready to go. And now somebody comes by. You're not prepared for what happens when you open the door. There stands a man with a black suit, immaculate. You look over his shoulder, and there at the street is a long black stretch limousine. And you have no idea what's going on. He hands you a thick envelope, and he delivers some unbelievable news. An anonymous benefactor has chosen you to share in his wealth. This man hands you a thick envelope and he says, "This is all for you. You are going to receive a fortune beyond imagination." And here's the most amazing thing about this person who has done this for you. And you don't know them. You've never met them. You wouldn't recognize them if you saw them on the street. The man escorts you to the limousine. He tells you that already, if you check your bank account, there's $100 million there that wasn't there when you went to bed last night. Well, that solves a lot of problems right away. And he says, "If you don't believe me, call the bank, or you can look in this envelope because there's the documentation." He puts you into the limousine. He escorts you out of town into a very exclusive neighborhood. And you go down this long, winding drive that leads to a magnificent home. And he carries you on a tour of that house that just seems to go on forever and forever. And when you're through seeing the house, you go outside and you see the pool. And beyond the pool, there are the gardens. And he tells you, "All of this is yours. The deed is in the envelope." Takes you back out to the limo, and you travel out to the airport. You get into a helicopter, and you fly over the city and past a private island with a yacht anchored offshore, and now it's yours, both of them. As you travel through the city, you go past commercial building after commercial building. And the man says, "Now, your benefactor once owned these buildings and the businesses that are contained inside of them, but he's given them all to you. They're yours now." Finally, you're taken to a beautiful home high up on a mountain. The man escorts you to the front door, and there he is, the person who has given you more than you could ever imagine. He has changed your life forever. The only thing you can think of to ask him is simply this: "Why me? Why would you choose to do this for me? I haven't done anything to deserve this." His reply: "That's exactly right. You haven't done anything to earn what I've given to you. It was all me. I chose you." Would you ever get over the wonder of it? How would you feel? How would you respond in years to come when you heard his name or when he called you? Would it not stagger you again to think about what he has done for you? Now, take all of those feelings and multiply them by a million or more and hear the most incredible declaration that God has made to you as we continue to walk through the Roman road together. Listen to what the Bible says in Romans 5:8. But God demonstrates his own love toward us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That's grace. That is pure grace. That is undeserved grace. Every time I think about this verse, every time I read it in Scripture, it staggers me. It is the gospel in a nutshell. God demonstrates his love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. We haven't earned it. We don't deserve it. And yet there it is for you and me. This morning, I want to walk you through Romans 5:8. It's not going to be a complicated walk. It's not going to be a clever walk. It's going to be a simple walk through the most profound statement of the gospel you will ever hear. So let me share with you what God has to say to you through Romans 5:8. The first thing you need to know is this. The Bible says the gospel is all about God's love. Romans says God demonstrates his love toward us. He demonstrates his love. What does that tell us about the love of God? It tells us God's love is active love. He doesn't just tell us that he loves us. He doesn't just expect us to know that he loves us. He shows us. He demonstrates. He reveals the fact that he loves you. He demonstrates his love. Real love is always demonstrated love. How does somebody know that you really love them? You make it plain through your actions. It's not just words that you say. It's love that you show. Love is what you do as much as what you say. If I told Judith today that I loved her, if I told her tomorrow I loved her, if I told her every day for the rest of our lives together, I love you, but that's as far as it went. I never did anything to show that I loved her. I never carried her anywhere to show her that I loved her. I never did anything special to reveal that I loved her. If I ignored her and took her for granted on a regular basis, do you not think the day would come when she would hear those words and think, no, you don't. You don't love me. Because if you did, you would show it. If Valentine's Day came and went Tuesday without any expression of the love that I felt, if I didn't do anything to acknowledge who she was and what she meant in my life, if there weren't even a card on Tuesday, how would she feel about my love? That's a hint for you men that were up here just a minute ago. Don't forget, Tuesday is what? Valentine's Day. Don't forget. Tell your local Hallmark shop they owe me a percentage of whatever comes from this church. What am I saying? The Bible tells us love has to be revealed through our actions as much as in our words. Now, that's true in big ways. Sometimes you may show your love with big expressions, with big demonstrations of love. I'm going to take you somewhere. I'm going to take you off for a weekend somewhere. I'm going to feed you a wonderful dinner. I'm going to buy you something you've always wanted. Sometimes it's the big things that count, but a lot of times it's the little daily expressions of love. You know what my wife taught me years ago about really letting her know that I love her? You know what I have to do? Remember to take out the trash. Pick up my own dishes and put them in the dishwasher. Show her that I don't just think of her as my servant. She's my wife. Boy, now I am meddling. In big ways and small, to show that you love someone. Let me tell you one of my favorite stories. Years ago, when I was the pastor in Aliceville, there was a couple in our church, and the first year that they were married, on their anniversary, the husband went and bought a card and he gave it to his wife and he signed it, I love you, and he put his name in and he gave it to her. And a year went by, and she gave him a card, and it was the same one. And it said, "I love you too." And the third year, guess what happened? Same card. Same card. Same card. For more than 50 years. Now there's a couple that you never wondered, did they love one another? Because those cards, that card went back and forth between them through six children. It went back and forth between them through some real crises in their life, some real health challenges. All sorts of things happened to this couple. But they never forgot to trade that card back and forth. Why? Because love is demonstrated love. And in the same way, the Bible says, God has demonstrated His love for us. How in the world does God reveal His love? How does God demonstrate His love toward us? Well, I think there's several ways that God reveals His love. He reveals His love in the way that He creates us, individually and personally. Like Brandon and Kristen's new daughter, Bryn. That's her rosebud over there from her new church that she doesn't even know about yet. And here this little one was, and I got to go see her this week. Absolutely unique in all this world. Never been anything like her. Never be anything like her again. Why? Because that's the way God makes people. He makes every one of us individually. And nobody's the same. Not just nobody that's walking around this place. Not just nobody that's walking around this state. Not even nobody that's walking around this world. Nobody in all of recorded history has ever been just like that precious little girl. And nobody ever will. You know why? Because God does not mass produce. God creates. He creates as an artist. He creates as a craftsman. He creates carefully and individually, choosing everything about us from the day we are born. Why does God do that? Wouldn't it be easier on the Lord to just make us all the same? All have the same face, all the same features, all the same personality, all the same brain, all the same. Wouldn't it be easier? Yes, but God's not worried about easy. God's worried about love. And He creates us lovingly and specially and personally so that we can love Him in return. God reveals His love by allowing us to have a relationship with Him. The most incredible thing, I can get up any given morning, I can stop in the middle of any day, and I can talk with Almighty God. We take that for granted sometimes, don't we? But it's the most astounding, incredible thing. You can talk to God, and so can I. And He's going to be there, and He's going to listen. Why? Because I have a relationship with Him. Because all of us who know Christ have a relationship with Him. And not only is He willing to listen to us, He's there for us. He invites us to Himself. And He makes time not only to know us, but to change us. Because He is our Lord and because He loves us. And most of all, He reveals His love in saving us. One of the most amazing things ever. God looks down on a world full of lost people, a bunch of people who don't know Him and don't even know how to begin to walk with Him. And He invites us to know Him for eternity. He opens the door to eternal life, and He does it again individually. That's the thing we take for granted more than anything that the Bible reminds us about. When God saves you personally. He doesn't say, well, today is the day, and I've picked 1,000 of you, and I'm going to save you all together, and I'll just do it that one time. Tomorrow I'll pick another 1,000, and another 1,000. He deals with individual hearts, individually, right where you are, just the way you are. And He comes to you, and He says, more than anything in the world, I want to give you the greatest gift of all. I want to give you eternal life. And all you've got to do is trust me. And how that happens in your life, well, that's as individual as we are. For some of us, we may say it was the most emotional, the most meaningful moment of my life, that day when I invited Jesus into my heart. For others of us, we may say, you know, it was the most natural thing in the world. It just kind of happened one day. Some may say, I met him at church. Some may say, I was with other people. My father-in-law, to his dying day, would tell you that when he was saved, it was because he was in a hospital room after a terrible automobile accident. And he would tell you to his last day that Jesus himself appeared to him in his room and brought him to himself. And all I know is the man changed. God changes us one at a time. He saves us one at a time. The gospel is about the fact that God demonstrates his love toward us. Anybody who believes that God is somewhere way up there, and yes, he made the world, but he's kind of detached from us, and he doesn't care about us, and he's not there for us, and he's not paying attention to us, they don't understand. God demonstrates his love toward us. And it is rich, and it is real, and it is personal, because that's the way love is. Romans 5:8 also says that the gospel is all about God's undeserved love for us. How does God demonstrate his love most clearly? Here's what the Bible says. The Bible says, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While we were still sinners. Let me tell you what that means, because it's really, really important for all of us to understand this. It means Christ died for you. It means he died for you when you were still ignoring him. It means he died for you when you were rebelling against him. He died for you when you were rejecting him. He even died for you before you had ever given him a thought. Long before you knew him, he knew who you were, and he died for you. Jesus didn't wait until you deserved it or you were looking for it. He died for you when you were nothing but a sinner. Wow. No wonder this verse takes my breath away. While I was still a sinner, understand, that's not just a category. That's a description of the way you live your life. An active description of who you were before you knew him. While you were still a sinner. While you were still a sinner and you weren't even thinking about a relationship with God. While you were still a sinner and you were looking at God and saying to him, I have no need for you in my life. While you were still a sinner and you were involved in all kinds of things that were dragging you away from the Lord. While you were still a sinner, Christ died for you. Let me tell you something. That doesn't make any sense at all. Why would God do something like that? Who dies for someone who doesn't deserve it at all? Jesus. Jesus. Why would he do something like that? Paul asked that question. He said, I understand that somebody might die for somebody who was really, really good, who really, really deserved it. You know, if you asked me today, who would you die for? I would probably look at the people that lived in my household, and that would be the end. That'd be the beginning and the end of the people I'd die for, unless there was somebody who so deserved my respect that I might even do it then. But probably not. And I hate to say this, but the rest of you, you're on your own. You know why I can say that to you? Because that's exactly what you would say to me. We had a situation several years ago, you may remember very tragically, where a man who was mentally ill came into a church right in the middle of the service and shot the pastor and killed him. And the pastor held his Bible up in front of himself, and the bullet went through that and killed the pastor. For a few moments, folks thought, this is some kind of a trick. But it wasn't. I remember a week or so later, one of the men in my church came to me and he said, look, I don't want you to be afraid of something like that happening in our church, because he said, you probably don't know it, but on any given week, there's probably five or six of us have a pistol in this room. And I asked him, I said, well, that's great, but are you going to get in front of me if somebody comes in? And he said, not a chance on this world. He said, I'll just make sure that he pays for what he did to you. Helps me a lot. Romans says, so why would Jesus die for a sinner? It makes no sense. It would make more sense if Romans said, Christ died for you when you were doing everything you could to find him, when you were struggling as hard as you could to live a right kind of life, if you were doing everything you could to be a religious person, if you were giving it all you had and you still need a little bit more, then maybe Christ would die for you. But the Bible says, while we were still sinners, ignoring him, rejecting him, rebelling against him, he died for us. Why would he do something like that? There's only one answer, and that answer is love. Because he loved you so much, even when you were so far from him, that he wanted to save you and give you eternal life. Here's what you need to know. His love for you is not about you. It is about him. He chooses to love you. And he chooses to call you personally to be saved. And there comes that time in every heart when you hear him speaking and you know it's him and you know it's you. And the one who died for you is now calling you to eternal life. He loves you, even when you don't deserve it. Romans is still not through. It also says this, and the gospel is about God's transforming love. Over the next couple of verses there, Paul begins to describe what happens in the life of a person who has been saved. And here's some of the things it says. The Bible says we are justified by his blood. We are saved from wrath. We are reconciled to God. We are saved by his life. What do all those things mean? Well, I could take a sermon apiece and talk about each one of those qualities. Maybe one day I will. But for now, you just need to know this. If you put them all together, it means that when you understand that Christ died for you and he rose from the dead for you and that he loves you, and when you trust him to save you, he's going to do it. You are changed. When I understand all of those things are true, I can never be the same person ever again. When I understand all that he has done for me, it makes me a different person inside. Nobody who ever had a heart-to-heart encounter with Christ walked away unchanged. Romans 5:8 reveals a truth that you might miss unless you're paying attention. You see, it says, God demonstrates his love. It's easy to read that verse and miss what you're saying, because it's easy to read it and hear God demonstrated his love on the cross. It's something that's already happened. But Romans says he still demonstrates his love. And that is an active and intensive verb that says this: God is still revealing his saving love through a crucified Christ to every life, one at a time. He demonstrates his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He died for us a long time ago, but right now he's still dealing with sinners. He's still saving sinners. He's still giving eternal life to sinners. He is actively at work in people like you and me to bring us to a saving trust in Jesus. His love transforms lives. Remember what the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17? If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are becoming new. Even those who choose to reject his love, if they understand it, will never be the same. It's one thing to say no to God. It's another thing to understand, I saw what Jesus has done for me, and I turned away. And when you're one of those people, it's always there in the back of your mind. You're always understanding, he reached out to me, he wants me, he would still save me. But I have to say yes. And nothing will ever change you more than experiencing what it means to be saved by the love of Jesus. See, the gospel is about God's everlasting love. A love that never goes away, that is with you every day of your life. And when you die, his love brings you home to him in heaven. His love for you never ends. That's what Romans 5:8 reminds us of. No wonder in Romans 14:8, Paul declared, if we live, we live to the Lord. If we die, we die to the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. What does that mean? It means this: once you are saved forever. There's never a time when God takes his salvation away. There's nothing you can do to lose it, and nobody else can take it from you. Have you ever experienced the love of God for you? The love that went to a cross for you? The love that loved you while you were still a sinner? The love that calls you by your name? If not, then you need to understand this. Today, God demonstrates his love for you. How do I know that? Because this is what I know. If you're here today and you don't have a relationship with Jesus, if you've never asked him to be your Savior, if you've never followed him as your Lord, I want to tell you something. Today his love is reaching out to you without exception. His love is reaching out to you. And he wants you to know this. And he loves you. He loved you before you deserved it. He loved you when you weren't paying any attention. And he loves you today. And if you listen, he's speaking, not to your ears, but to your heart. And he is saying, today I will change your life if you'll just trust me. Trust my love. Maybe you're here today and you've never made that decision in your life. We want to give you an opportunity to get to know the one who loves you so much that while you were still a sinner, he died for you. In a moment, we're going to stand and we're going to sing a hymn of invitation together. And if you're here and you want to know Jesus, I'm going to be here and Rich is going to be here, and we would love to talk to you about how you can come to know Jesus. You just have to come to where we are. If you're not sure you're ready to do that, we'll both be around out here in the lobby after the service is over. So will Nathan and so will Joe. We'll all be there. And any one of us would be glad for you to pull us to the side and say, tell me a little bit more about this one who loves me. But maybe today is the day you want to come and give your life to Jesus. Maybe today is the day when you're here and you've been looking for that place where God wants you to love him and serve him, and you need to be a part of a church family that's going to love you back. And God's calling you here. You come and you bring your membership to this place. Maybe God's dealing with you. Maybe there's something you need to talk to someone about. Maybe you need to use this altar. Maybe God's at work in your life. Do you need to come? We're going to stand. We're going to sing. And as God's Holy Spirit speaks to you in your heart, you come. Let's sing.